good morning, everybody, on this morning. We want to thank y'all for joining us again. Today is another wonderful day that was not promised to any of us, so we have a reason to tell God thank you on this morning. I want to thank y'all for taking this time to just spend a small segment of your morning with us on today, and we just thank God for another wonderful day to be able to come together and hear his word on today. I am Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspire and Love Church, where we want to welcome you to come and grow in the soil with us. That's right, come grow in the soil with us, because what we want to do in this church, in this ministry, is cultivate the believer in you. That's right, we want to cultivate the believer in you. Today is a great day. Today is a great day for me, especially because of all people that is visiting with me on today. I've got my one and only beloved mother here on this morning, as well as one of my sisters here. Y'all, it's been almost a year and a half since I've seen my mother, and it is just such a blessing to have her in the physical, not on Zoom, not on the phone, or just hearing a voice, but to see her in person, and it is wonderful. I want to encourage everybody, if you have an opportunity to embrace your mother when you can. If you have that opportunity to just embrace your mother when you can, you only have one. You only have one. And you just want to make sure that you cherish the moments that you have with all your family, but in particularly, it's nobody like your mother. Can I get an amen on that? All right. So again, I want to thank y'all for joining us on this morning here. And we have been in a very interesting and very informative series here, and we've been talking about this word by the name of discipline. We've been talking about discipline, and some of the things that we know when it pertains to discipline, we've heard the sayings, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. Have you heard that before? Can anybody attest to hearing something like that before? If you continue down the path, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to continue to get the results from what you've been doing. Amen? Does that resonate with anyone? We understand that because those actions or lack thereof can serve as an asset or a liability depending on what it is that you're doing. For instance, some of y'all that know me pretty well and you've heard me say quite often, I'm going to tap into your sweet tooth a little bit on this morning. If you know me, you know that I love me some German chocolate cake. It ain't no secret, and I will stand bold and look at you straight eye to eye, face to face. I love me some German chocolate cake. But here's the deal. Although I love German chocolate cake, if I consume more German chocolate cake than I do fruits and vegetables, that's going to be detrimental to my health. Regardless to how much I love it, and regardless to how good it tastes, I mean the coconut and the chocolate and when it's warm and maybe you throw a little bluebell ice cream on it. Well, I mean, I'm telling you, it is the dessert of all desserts. I mean, it is something serious, folks. But if I consume, I'm going to just talk about me. I'm not going to talk about nobody else. I'm just talking about me. If I consume more German chocolate cake than I do fruits and vegetables, that's not good for me. It's not good for me. So eating cake, nobody had to teach me to love German chocolate cake. Nobody had to teach me to love my grandmother's apple dumplings and peach cobbler and all that other stuff. But now, if you're talking to my mother right now, eating broccoli was a different story. Eating broccoli was a different story. Okay? Because the things that seem to come easy to us can also represent being undisciplined. But sometimes the things that are necessary for us in our lives, they take some training. They take some focus. It takes some cultivating. It takes some process in getting used to those things, because it might not tap into your sweet tooth. But when you eat something that you need to eat, it's tapping in to the real you. It's going to add to your life. It's going to serve as an asset to your life. It's going to be beneficial to you. So where are we going with all that this morning? I hear you saying right now, Pastor Glenn, now you got me wanting German chocolate cake, apple dumplings, peach cobbler, all that stuff here. But then you threw something in the mix called broccoli. Broccoli represents the discipline. Broccoli represents, it may not taste good, but it's for our good. Broccoli represents the process that it takes for you to learn, to grow, and to develop what it is that's good for you. It may not always taste good, but it is for your good. That's what discipline is, ladies and gentlemen. That's what discipline will do for you in your life. Somebody had to teach you and show you the importance of sitting down and eating broccoli or whatever other fruits or vegetables that there are. But nobody had to teach you to love German chocolate cake or whatever your favorite dessert is or whatever it is that you indulge on, peanut M&Ms or whatever. But you understand my point. Because the word discipline, ladies and gentlemen, it can have a negative connotation behind it because it can be perceived as being made to be uncomfortable. Think about the little babies, and I can go back to my daughter. And you're feeding the babies the baby food, and we all know that we sometimes have to get a little creative when it comes to giving babies what they need and not necessarily what they want. So we got to get creative, and we know that they need the carrots. What do? We mix the applesauce, and we mix all these other things in there so that they can take in what it is that they need. We have to disguise it. Because nobody had to teach the baby to love the apples and bananas. But we had to teach them to love the green peas and the carrots and things that they really need. That's the discipline. That's the discipline that it is in our life. And I want to put our first slide up on this morning. I want to put our first slide up this morning because here's the deal. We are creatures of adaptation. And once we have adapted to something, we want to stay in the confinement of the adaptive behavior. We taste something. We love it. It becomes part of us, part of our culture. We love it. We adapt it. We eat it. It's us. But sometimes it's not the best that we need in our lives. Sometimes it's not going to be the best benefit to us in our lives. So therefore, we have to go through a process of learning to retrain the way we think, retrain the way we perceive what it is that we need. We have to retrain ourselves to learn something that is better for us. It can be exercise. It can be eating right. It can be all these other things. But in order to get to that ultimate goal, it takes discipline. Just imagine yourself being on an airplane. You've taken off, and now you're soaring about 35,000 feet, zoom, in the air. And what I want us to understand is while you're in the air and you're above ground, as long as the flight is going smooth and as long as things are going okay, you're all fine and all is well. Because you have adapted to being comfortable. But as soon as a plane hits an air pocket and you experience some turbulence on your flight, you get taken out of that level of comfort. You get taken out of your comfort zone. But you would want things to go back to the way that they were. You want the smooth flight. You want the flight with no interruptions or anything going on. You want that flight. But when it hits an air pocket, you go through some turbulence. But what we have to understand that sometimes when we want to reach a destination, when we want to go to where we need to go in life, we have to experience some turbulence. So what am I saying on this morning? Turbulence, ladies and gentlemen, is on your schedule. And when we learn to embrace turbulence as it's on our schedule, we will learn to do this thing called embracing the discipline. We will learn that it's not always going to be peaches and cream. Life is not always going to smell like roses. But what I want us to understand something is it helps us to know when we can at least have, okay, a forecast of the turbulence that we were about to experience. I was just speaking to my sister a few moments ago. We were talking about the weather. We were talking about the 20% and 30% chance because what the forecast does is it lets us know what we are about to step into. The forecast, it kind of lets us know what we are about to encounter in our lives. When we hear about the forecast, what we have to then do is learn to embrace, to get ourselves ready. When we hear about the forecast, it gives us an opportunity to prepare ourselves for being uncomfortable. Holy Spirit, you talking this morning. When you hear about the forecast will allow you to prepare yourself to grab the umbrella, to prepare yourself to get ready for the rain, to prepare yourself to get ready for anything that will take you out of the 70 degree temperature with the bright sunny skies, knowing that there is a bit of uncomfortable that's getting ready to come into your way. But Jesus, being the holy pilot of our lives, will get into the PA system called the Holy Bible. And he will tell us, like you said, in John 16 and 33, he gives us a heads up as we're flying during life. And he says, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world, you will, in fact, YouTube, have trouble. Facebook Live, you will have troubles in your life. But he says something here. He wants to tell you something. He wants to help you to embrace the situation that you're going through. He is preparing you for the discipline of walking into the trials and the tribulations. He says, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. The captain of the flight of our lives tells us not to get comfortable when things don't go according to plan, but to prepare ourselves for the turbulence that can come to us in our lives. But know that at the end of your turbulence, whatever it is that you're going through, that you're experiencing, at the end of your turbulence, there's this thing called overcoming. At the end of your trial and your tribulation and being made uncomfortable, there is this thing called overcoming. Because what we want to know and what we want to understand is that the undisciplined life can take you away from your destiny. The undisciplined life can take you down roads that you didn't intend to walk down. The undisciplined life will lead you into a path that is not according to your Jeremiah 29 and 11, but it feels good. It tastes good. It's the German chocolate of your situation, but we have to prepare ourselves for the broccoli that will lead us into the path of our lives. So what I want us to understand on this morning is that we have to be uncomfortable sometimes as we build structure and discipline in our life so that we are faced with turbulence in this world. We know how to embrace it. When we're faced with turbulence, we are prepared for that situation. When we're faced with turbulence, we know what the Word of God says, and we can pull from the withdrawal of the ATM machine of the words and the scriptures that we've learned in our lives and know that it might be tough right now. It may not feel good right now. It may taste like fresh broccoli right now, but know that it's going to be healthy for you. Know that it's going to take you where you need to go. Know that it's going to propel you in life. And just because you hit some air pockets doesn't mean that that plane is not going to land. We have to understand what the Word of God says. And when we learn how to accept the Word of God, we will learn how to embrace the discipline in our lives. Now, I want us to know on this morning as we get ready, I'm preparing us and getting us set up for this word, that Jesus has overcome everything that we have experienced. And we are, in fact, more than conquerors. But in order to build the discipline that we need to walk into the path of righteousness that he has for us, we must first have to embrace discipline. Our message, ladies and gentlemen, all over the world that is listening to the sound of my voice, our word on today is embracing discipline. Embracing discipline. Let us go into corporate prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're speaking. You're speaking and we are listening. And we thank you for leading us, Lord. We thank you for guiding us. We thank you for just allowing us, Lord Jesus, to hear what you need for us to hear. Speak to that heart, that hardened heart. Speak to that unforgiven heart. Speak to that heart that has evil desires and has ill wills, Lord, and just soften it, Lord Jesus, so that it can receive the word that you have on today. Allow the word to be seed, Lord, to go on a good ground, to be saturated into the heart. And allow that word, Lord Jesus, to penetrate into the soul and into the mind so that the discipline of the life can be manifested, Lord. Anything that is not like you, take it out, Lord. Forgive us for our sins, our shortcomings, everything that has not met your standard, Father God. And replace it, Lord Jesus, with your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your gentleness, and your self-control. And just use us for your purpose and your glory. Speak. speak this word through me, Lord. As I die to self, I welcome your spirit. Less of me, Father God, and more of you. I am doing this because you have assigned me to do this. This is not about me. This is all about you. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your mighty word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this morning. Thank you all that are joining us on Zoom. Thank you all on YouTube Live, on Facebook Live, and also on We Talk Radio on our program called Shine Lord, where we talk, we listen, and we take action. I want to thank everybody for your time on this morning. Now, as we talked about last week, I'm going to put our first slide up on this morning. As we talked about last week, discipline is the training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. I'm going to say that again. Discipline is the training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. And as we refer, ladies and gentlemen, to the word discipline, we are speaking specifically, again, I say, about self-discipline. We're talking about you as an individual. We're talking about your character. We're talking about the real you, Zone. We're talking about the real you that's on the inside. When no one else is looking, that person, all the skeletons in the closet, all of who you really are, the you that nobody else knows, we're talking about that person and that level of self-discipline. And as you see, our next slide is up. In this series, here's what we want to uncover. Here's what we want to uncover in this series. We want to focus on the training aspect of self-discipline and uncover the godly benefits of the disciplined life. God is a rewarder, ladies and gentlemen. Those that diligently seek him, God is all about the reward. But we have to put forth the work and position ourselves to receive the benefits from God that we desire to receive. But before we encounter the process of discipline, the first thing that we have to do, here's the first thing that we have to do as we put our next slide up on this morning. The first thing is we have to recognize where we are undisciplined. We have to recognize where we are undisciplined. You know, the young folk have a thing called being woke or staying woke, being woke to systemic injustices in our society, in our nation. Certain bills of legislation are passed, and sometimes when we just get caught up into the rat race of life and doing our things, there are some other things that are happening that are directly impacting us. So the saying is we have to stay woke. I'm going to change that now. That was a practical example. I'm going to change that now into the purpose of our message on today. Sometimes we don't realize where we're undisciplined. Holy Spirit is talking on this morning. Sometimes we don't realize where we're asleep because we're caught up into eating the German chocolate cakes and it's a part of our daily routine. Sometimes we get caught up into doing things that take us out of the structure of life when we know we could be doing better. We know we could be more productive. We know we should be doing some things, but we fall asleep because falling asleep sometimes feels good. It tastes good. It's what our natural body desires. And therefore, we stay asleep at the wheel of our lives. But what I want us to understand is that we have to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, as we have the slide up, we have to recognize where we are undisciplined. How do we do that? We must take self-evaluation of ourselves and identify the areas where we are undisciplined. We got to give ourselves a self-evaluation. We have to be honest with where we are in our lives and say, am I as disciplined as I should be? Am I as focused as I should be? Do I spend my day just going from television show to television show? Or from doing different things that take me out of the focus and plan, and maybe there's a goal or a dream or something that I really, really love, but do I have the level of discipline that it takes to walk forward to that path? Ladies and gentlemen, we got to be honest with ourselves at some point. We got to be honest about the areas where we are undisciplined. We just can't keep sweeping the areas of an undiscipline under the rug and ignore those things and stay asleep at the wheel. Do we have a disciplined Bible studying life? Do we make time for God, and do we have set aside time to just focus on the Father and allow Him to speak to us? Do we have that time to allow the Father to just speak with us, to have an intimate time with Him? Or is it all about just getting and going through the rat race of life and doing other things? Are we disciplined in the areas that we should be disciplined in? Are we disciplined in the areas of spending money? Our eating habits? Do we spend way too much time on social media and scrolling to see what's going on in everybody else's life? Who posted this? Who said that? What's this person doing? What that person doing? It used to be back in the day, you would look out the front curtain and see what was going on in your neighborhood. Now the front curtain is on a device in your hand. And it's called Facebook. And now we want to open up the curtains and see what everybody else is doing and what everybody else has got going on in their lives. And before you know it, you can spend an entire day doing nothing but scrolling and looking and peeking out of the windows of Facebook, YouTube, any other social media platform. And as society has adapted into this way of social media and things of that nature, we in our own lives, and if we're honest with ourselves, there are times where we become asleep. I'll be the first to say, there are times when I'm falling asleep, getting caught up into the streaming and the scrolling and all these other things, and look up and 30 minutes have passed and an hour has passed. And now you can look back and evaluate your day and say, what did I spend my time doing on today? Where was my focus on today? If we don't have the discipline to give ourselves a self-evaluation and say, what did I accomplish on today? Ladies and gentlemen, we will continue to stay asleep at the wheel. Have we identified, again, I say, where we're undisciplined? Now, this is an area, especially in the church world, we don't talk a whole lot about. We don't have a lot of messages and conversations about being disciplined. But the fact and behind the matter is that we cannot live the life that God wants for us to live if we don't have the discipline to put His word into action. It's good to go to church and get a good feel-good message and eat the German chocolate of the situation. But if you don't broccoli the situation, put it into action and allow those vitamins to nurture your body and your mind and your soul and take action and do the things that God needs for you to do, what good does it do to sit there, to go to church and go through, as I say, church flow, and there's no growth coming from what you're doing? This is not a very popular message, because I struggle with sometimes telling the real truth, but somebody's got to say it. Sometimes we get so caught up in the ministry platform about likes and shares and who's tuning in, and we go through the process and we want to tell people what they want to hear. That's called German chocolate cake. But God has called us as pastors and teachers and biblical leaders here to tell the truth, to speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And the truth is, you're not going to love every message. The truth is, you're not going to like every bite of broccoli. You may not like the texture of green peas, but green peas are going to do something for you, unlike a Little Debbie snack cake will. We can't always, ladies and gentlemen, want to hear what feels good to the ears. Sometimes we have to hear some things that don't always feel good, but they're for our good. That comes from discipline. And that comes from embracing discipline, knowing that I heard the PA, I heard the pilot say, we are about to experience some turbulence. I don't like it, but I got to go through it. I have to embrace it. I got to prepare myself for it, because I know there's an overcoming at the end of this situation. There is, in fact, an overcoming if I just buckle down and just hold tight. And it may not always feel good. It may not always taste good, but it is for my good. So I have to learn to embrace discipline. Here's the next slide that I want to put up here. I want to put this next slide up on this morning. We have to identify the areas, as I've said, where we're undisciplined so that we can work. Here's that word I want you to hear. So that we can work to place ourselves in position to change. So that we can work to put ourselves in position to change. That's what we have to do. Work to place ourselves in position, ladies and gentlemen, to change. None of us like change. Change is not easy. Change is uncomfortable. Change doesn't feel good. Change is me getting out of my comfort zone. Change is I'm used to doing things a certain way. Change is I don't really like this fact. Now, when we started this pandemic about 18 or so months ago, none of us wanted to wear masks. None of us wanted to social distance. None of us wanted to sanitize our hands every time we turn around. But over time, we became what? Adapted to it. We had to learn new disciplines on how to best protect ourselves from this fierce virus that didn't care about your color, didn't care about your immune system, didn't care about anything else. COVID was like a gangster that just showed up out the blue and just took every ounce of what it could without anybody's permission. So we had to respect what it could do, and we had to become uncomfortable. It was for our good. We had to, if we didn't want to experience all the turbulence that COVID-19 could present to us. It didn't feel good, but it was for our good. And now, obviously, things have become so politicized nowadays, and not to get a little bit too far off of track now, and now wearing a mask, who would have thought that one of the biggest debates and one of the biggest social dividing factors in our nation today would be wearing something that would help keep you alive? It's broccoli. But taking it off is like German chocolate cake. My rights. Yeah, I got a right to eat German chocolate cake. But if I consume that again, I say more than the fruits and vegetables and thing that I need, it's not healthy for me. It doesn't feel good to be uncomfortable. And if we allow the undisciplined life to rule our society, ladies and gentlemen, we better get on our knees and pray like never before. Because it's not always about what we feel is right. Sometimes we have to be disciplined enough to say, can I be uncomfortable a little bit for the betterment of my fellow man? Jesus said to love my neighbor as I love myself. And I'm sorry, but some of the decisions that we make in our legislation is not about loving our neighbor. It's about the love of money, the root being of all evil. I'm going to put profits instead of health. I'm going to put headcounts in schools instead of doing what's right. We've got the infrastructure. We've got the computers. We've got everything set up to allow streaming and all these things to keep us best healthy. But I've got a headcount to meet. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I've got numbers that have to meet. I can't go back into all of this stuff. We have to learn, ladies and gentlemen, to go back to being disciplined. I don't care if you agree with this or not. The truth is the truth. And this is an area of lack of discipline. I'm not here for anybody to agree with me. I am here to speak the word of God. And the biggest problem that we have is we are too caught up into what feels good. It's not always for our good. I want to put up another slide here as we're getting ready to talk here. And I just want to say something because it's lining up with where we are. Our next slide says, Law, we have to humble ourselves and embrace discipline. We have to humble ourselves and embrace discipline. When you embrace something, you welcome it. When you embrace something, you accept it. It's like the prodigal son comes running back to the father, and the father's arms are open for the son that left him, wanted his share of his inheritance to go out and experience German chocolate cake. But the father's arms were open, and he embraced his son back. In fact, the Bible records that the father ran back to the son and knocked him down and hugged him as he embraced him as much as he embraced him. But I want to put up, as we're talking about this word embrace, I want to put up what Merriam-Webster's definition tells us here, as you can see on the slide. The definition of embrace, to avail oneself of. To avail oneself of. When I think of embracing discipline, what comes to mind, Zoom? What comes to mind, Facebook? What comes to mind, YouTube? What comes to mind, We Talk Radio? The root word is disciple. The root word of discipline is disciple. I'm sorry, I've got to jump ahead of myself a little bit here. But when we're embracing, we're accepting. When we're embracing, we get out of ourselves. When we're embracing, we're humbling ourselves. And when we embrace, we learn to adapt. We, whatever comes along with it, I'm going to get to the other side. I am going to accept the turbulence on my flight. Because I've humbled myself, and I'm not thinking that I'm above whatever trial and tribulation and level of uncomfortable that I'm going to have to experience. I'm going to accept it for how it is. I'm going to accept it for what it is. Because I'm in this thing to achieve the common goal. So as we're talking about to avail oneself, you have to make yourself available. There is a decision that you have to do. You have to make yourself available. So what is discipline, as we've been talking about? The root word of discipline, think about it. The root word of discipline is disciple. Did you know that? The root word of discipline is disciple. Disciple is a Latin word. It's called discipulus. The Latin word for disciple is discipulus, which means student, which means learner, which means follower. And in order to learn, you have to what? Humble yourself. You got to be humble. There's a message that I taught a while back called the power of humility. Even when we come to God, we have to come to him humble, humility, and honor, worshiping him. We got to talk God's language. We got to approach God the way that we should approach God. We got to humble ourselves. We don't come to God like some big, bad, boisterous person and got everything figured out and we know it all and all that. God, he's not lining up with that. That's not how he operates. We humble ourselves before the Lord, and then he will do the exalting. But in order to have the information that you need, and all you're getting, you have to get understanding. And before you get understanding, you have to be studious. You have to be the student. You have to be the learner. You have to humble yourself. You have to be the follower. And the earliest known disciples that we know were the 12 that Jesus handpicked to follow him. Now, as we get into the root of our word, you know, I always have a quick analogy that I like to put up here. The Bible is like two hands, right? And the two hands represent the Old Testament in the left hand, the New Testament in the right hand. Okay? The Old Testament is the books of Genesis through Malachi. The New Testaments, okay? The books of Matthew through the books of Revelations. And speaking of Matthew, what I want us to do is we're going to go into the book of Matthew as we're talking about embracing discipline. And I just want to read to you Matthew's account, okay? As he spent three dynamic years following Jesus, and he had an account, which is called the book of Matthew. Matthew was one of the 12 disciples that Jesus handpicked. And Matthew was very detail-oriented. And the accounts that Matthew gives us, he's very detailed, very, very detailed, very focused. Matthew would be kind of like a movie. He could write movies. He could be like the Tyler Perrys and the Lee Daniels and Quentin Tarantino's, right? He could be up in there because as you read his account, you find that he's very detailed about what he uncovered during his walk with Jesus. And what I want us to understand here in Matthew 4, verses 18 through 19, what I want us to know is as we're reading that scripture, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and he would later be named Peter, but Simon at the time, and his brother Andrew. The two of them were brothers. They were casting their net into the lake, casting their net. These were professional fishermen. This is how they ate. This is what they did. They were casting their net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus interrupted their story. Jesus interrupted their life. Jesus said, excuse me, but here's what I need you to do. Come, is what he says to them. Follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. In other words, I'm going to take the skill set that you have. I'm going to take the attributes that you already have, and I'm going to, here's the word, Holy Spirit is dropping this word. I'm going to change your discipline. Wow, how about that? I'm going to change your discipline from fishing to the fish in the sea. You're going to now fish for the man and the woman to be a part of this wonderful thing that we're doing. He interrupted their schedule, and he changed their discipline. In other words, he changed their behavior. They had to embrace, they had to accept, they had to humble themselves, and they followed. These men were living a comfortable lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen, but they had no discipline for their purpose in life. Although they didn't know exactly where they were going, when they first decided to follow Jesus, they made the decision to embrace change and become a follower of Christ. Simon, as we all know, would later be named Peter, and his brother Andrew, they were successful businessmen, as I mentioned, but decided to humble themselves, embrace discipline, and become students of the greatest teacher of all time, the greatest teacher of all time, for a greater purpose. It was bigger than themselves. It was bigger than just going out and fishing and making money and doing these things. No, they knew that there was a greater purpose. And following Jesus was going to walk them into that ultimate destiny. So the decision that they made, it took them from profit and loss statements to being written about in the Holy Bible. How about that? And some of you business folks, you understand profit and loss statements. You're doing it every month. You're balancing your books. You're finding out your profits, your losses, your expenses, and so forth and so on, and your receivables and all these other things here. They walked away from all of that to get their name written, to get their own books in the Bible. That's what humility will do. That's what embracing discipline can do for you. One decision to embrace discipline changed their lives forever. And we're still talking about them today more than 2,000 years later. Now, as we're talking about embracing discipline, we're going to talk about some facts here. And I'm getting ready to close. And I thank you for your time on this morning. Here are some facts about embracing discipline. We're just going to go through these facts. It's not in any particular order here. But the first, as you see the slide, the first fact that I want us to understand is you have to, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to change. Joshua 1:9, coming from the New International Version of the Bible. God is talking to Joshua. Here's what happens. I just want to set this up right now. Moses, who has done everything from leading, okay, out of Egypt, he has led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses dies, and God turns immediately to his assistant, looks right at Joshua and says, in verse number 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I need you to now change from being the second man in charge. From now, coming from being that assistant coach to now, Joshua, I need you to put on your big boy pants and step up, because I need them to see you being strong. I need them to see you being courageous. I'm commanding you to do this because this is a part of your destiny. And now this is what I need you to do, because you saw where Moses parted the Red Sea, but you're going to have to do the same thing as you part the Jordan River. You ain't got time to be scared. You ain't got time to be no coward. You don't have time to sit here and question and Lord, is this for me? No. You got to move right now. It's just like when Jesus said, come to the disciples, they had to come. And now God is telling Joshua, it is your time to come. Joshua had to be willing to be strong. He had to be willing to be courageous. Now he's the new leader of the children of Israel. But you got to know this. Nothing changes until you change it. You will keep getting what you're getting if you keep doing what you're doing. But nothing will change until you decide to change. Nothing will absolutely change until you, Facebook, will decide to change. Here's another fact about embracing discipline here, as I'm going to put up on the screen, is you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable. Let's look at Matthew 14, 28 through 29. Let's look at Matthew 14, 28 through 29. The disciples are on this ship. Jesus had already told them before they got on the ship, he had just finished feeding more than 5,000 people. And he sent them out across the Galilean Sea. And he said, y'all go on. I'm going to meet y'all on the other side. They're like, okay, Jesus, they're on this ship. And all of a sudden, this boisterous wind and this storm kicks up out of the middle of nowhere. Things get a little choppy. The weather gets a little crazy. But they're looking down and they're seeing there's this image coming towards them. Some accounts said that they thought it was a ghost. They thought it was some object. They didn't really know, but they were scared. They were afraid. But the rock, one of the guys that Jesus chose first, the rock, we called him Simon a few minutes ago, Peter, said, okay, Lord, you're saying it's you. You're telling us to come if it's you. And what I know about you is you're not going to ask me to do something that I'm not equipped to do. So Lord, if it's you, here's what he said in Matthew 28 and 29. Peter says, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, well, come. All right, I told you, come, come on. Come on out here, Peter. And the Bible says that then Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water towards Jesus. Peter was willing, ladies and gentlemen, to be uncomfortable. Peter was willing to step out of being comfortable in the boat and to step out onto the sea to experience, to partake in one of the most dynamic miracles that we've ever known about in the history of mankind. To walk on water. Water is not designed to be walked on. We can float. We have machinery. We got all these things, right, that allows us to be able to float on the top of water. But it was never meant for us to walk on water. But Jesus, obviously, is above the scientific laws and the nature. So Peter was able to partake in that because he was willing to be uncomfortable. My question is, are we willing to be uncomfortable? Are we willing to accept the challenges that being disciplined will do to us and for us in order to achieve the common goal? That's a question that you will have to answer on your own. That's a question that the real you will have to take a deep self-evaluation and will have to answer on your own. Here is another fact about embracing discipline as you see the next slide up. You have to be humble, as I've said before. You have to be humble. Proverbs 11 and 2, great King Solomon gives us his godly wisdom, says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. Can I be humble enough to gain some wisdom? Can I be humble enough to be studious? Can I be humble enough to allow myself to learn? Because as you always know, I say, listen, you're never too old to learn and you're never too young to teach. But can you be humble regardless to what side of the equation that you're on? Can you be humble enough? Can you be humble enough? Because at the end of the day, you're going to receive wisdom. And the discipline that you're going to embrace is going to teach wisdom. Here's another fact that I want to put up here, and we're almost done, and I want to thank you all this morning for joining us. You have to accept that discipline is needed. Zoom, you have to accept that discipline is needed. Let's hang on to King Solomon here as we look at Proverbs 10 and 17. I'm coming from the New International Translation here, where he says, whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life. But whoever ignores correction leads others astray. If you ignore correction, that is leading others astray. Let that sink for a second. I want that to sink into your spirit for a second. Because we have to accept that it's needed. As we said earlier, we have to accept the fact, do a self-evaluation. Am I as disciplined as I should be? Do I have a plan to read the Word of God? As I shared with you all last week, how I love Proverbs, because Proverbs is so full of wisdom, and it's so full of wisdom that when you want wisdom, just go into, there's two books here. The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament and the book of James in the New Testament. I mean, if you just want to just learn some wisdom, learn some discipline, saturate yourself in those two books of the Bible. It's part of my wisdom. It's part of my ritual. It's part of my routine, and to preparing myself for sermons and preparing myself for ministry, to preparing myself for what God wants us to do. Because what we have to do is we have to ask God. If we have not, we ask not. And one of the ways that God answers us is through his word. But are we disciplined enough to take the time out and allow the word of God to speak to us? Or are we too focused on the television shows and all these other things and looking out the curtains, seeing what else is going on in somebody else's life? Here's another fact that I want to tell us, and we're getting ready to close here, about discipline. We have to prepare for the process. Because discipline is a process. And as I said last week, it's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing behavior, an ongoing practice. We have to prepare for the process. Ephesians 2 and 10, I'm coming from old school. I'm coming from the King James Version here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to read that again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created for good works, his workmanship, good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is a godly ordained purpose for us to be used for God's purpose and God's glory in our lives. He created us in his image. He created us for his workmanship. He created us to do the good works that we need to do. But the question is, are we disciplined to carry forth what he needs for us to carry forth? We got to prepare ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, for the process. We have to prepare ourselves for the process. And here's my last slide that I'm going to put up this morning. Here's my last slide. Once we adhere to the facts about embracing discipline, we will then prepare ourselves to be ready for the process of discipline. I'm going to say that again. Once we adhere to the facts about embracing discipline, these facts that we just uncovered, we will then prepare ourselves to be ready for the process of discipline. My prayer is that this series on discipline is life-changing for the people of God. My prayer is that this series on discipline is mind-altering. It's going to help us become better. It's going to interrupt our schedules. It's going to find us fishing, and now we're going to redirect our discipline and do what God needs for us to do. We're going to stop being asleep at the wheel of the ways of this world and step out. Right? We're not to be conformed to the ways of this world. We are to be transformed, right? By the renewing of the mind, to step out, to go forth and do what God needs for us to do, because we are created for his workmanship. To be soldiers in the army of the Lord. To be battle tested because we have embraced and accepted the disciplines that it takes. To be strong and courageous like he told Joshua. To be ready to receive the wisdom that he gave King Solomon. To be going into the Damascus of our lives and have that encounter with Jesus. And he will change the name of our life, change the name of our situation, to now we can once be called Saul, but now be called Paul. Are you ready to accept discipline? Are you ready to embrace discipline? Are you ready for that change? Are you ready to say, Lord, okay, I'm ready to be serious about giving tithes and offering. I am ready to have a biblical Bible study process in my life. I am ready to now go to the next level in you, God. I'm ready to step out on the side and all these things that were just having me to go through the ways of this world and just being caught up. I didn't realize that I was asleep. I didn't realize that I was out of focus. I didn't realize how undisciplined I was. Are you ready to embrace the process of discipline? If that's you, I want to say a prayer with you right now. If you have once experienced God, but you stepped away and now you want to come back to him, I want to tell you something right now. He's ready to receive you. He's ready for you to come back. The Father's arms are always open, and his arms are arms that never close. Are you ready to discipline your life, to now go to the next level, to now step out of the boat and be uncomfortable, knowing that there is a more than conqueror waiting for you at the end of the turbulence that you experience? Is that you on today? Is that somebody out there on today? If that's you, put in the chat, I want some prayer. I want to start this discipline. I want to learn. I want to go to the next level in God. If that's you right now on today, Heavenly Father, Lord, that person, that man, woman, child, that girl, that boy, whoever it is that's listened to the sound of my voice right now, tomorrow, the next day, whenever they're listening to it, next year, 10 years from now, you are always moving and you're always in the midst of everything that we're going through, Father God. There's nothing that catches you by surprise. And you're a God of all knowing. Lord, you know that somebody is struggling with discipline in their life right now. You know, Lord Jesus, somebody is struggling and maybe there's some addictions, or maybe they don't know that they're addicted. Right now, in the name of Jesus, your word, your blood, your word, your blood, it destroys every yoke. There is no addiction that is too strong that your blood cannot disrupt. Lord, there's nothing that's too hard for you. Somebody just received a word on today. I didn't realize how undisciplined I was. Somebody is on the verge of a breakthrough because the one thing that they needed in their life was discipline. They've got the idea. They've got the dream, the desire, whatever it is, but they just need to learn to embrace discipline, the getting up and being the early bird, catching the worm, and all of these things. Lord, they allowed every excuse, every condition, every situation to rob them of being disciplined. But Lord, today I speak freedom over that person. I speak deliverance over that person. I feel the chains that are breaking right now in the name of Jesus, and allowing their freedom, Lord, to come forth right now in the name of Jesus. Help them to humble themselves, to embrace your disciplines. In the word of God, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, to be that cheerful giver, to turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves so that you can heal this land, get rid of these viruses and all these things here. You have given us the discipline in your word. But Lord, my prayer on today is that we accept it. We accept your will. We accept your way. We get out of our own way. We get out of our own selves, and we die to that, Lord, and we just say, come into our hearts. Come into our minds. Forgive us for our shortcomings and help us, Lord Jesus, to be disciplined to serve you like never before. Things that we may have done before, we're going to change that. We're going to accept the change. We're going to accept what's needed in 2021, not back in 1965 or 85 or 1995, but right now, today, in 2021, how can I be used to fish for your men, for your women, for your children, in the name of Jesus? And what disciplines can I accept to position myself for it in the name of Jesus? If that is somebody out there on today and you want to give your life to God, just say this after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Accept me in your heart. Lord, never let me go. I believe that you died and that you rose on the third day with all the power and all the glory. In Jesus' name, thank you for saving me. If that is you, I'm clapping for you. I'm thanking God for you. And I want to welcome you into the kingdom that never loses, into the team that is always on top, into the holy team of teams. I can see the angels right now celebrating right now in heaven, cheering you on, that great cloud of witnesses right now, cheering you on right now, because you have come back. You have come back to the Father. And if that's you and you want to coach and you want to nurture and you want to grow in the soil, send me a note. Shoot me a note right now. info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I just want to stay connected with you. I just want to pray with you. I want to send you some information. And if you're looking for a church home, you can always join this church. You can always join this church. Again, send us information, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. We've got the website that's in the process of coming. It feels like I say that all the time, but just be patient with us. We're working on these things. And we're going to send you information on how to become a member of this church. We've got a great team here. We're continuing to enhance some things, and we're kind of looking at brick and mortar, but yet we're keeping our eye on the pandemic and other stuff, but we've got great things ahead of us. That's what these messages are doing. We're building our believers with these messages. We're laying the foundation of this message. If you haven't noticed, we are just laying the foundation of this message, of building our ministry right now. And if being a part of this laying of the foundation, just imagine when the walls start going up. Just imagine when the roof gets really ready to be laid and the shingles start getting inserted and the windows go. We're just right now laying this foundation. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And I'm here to tell you right now, this is going to be a life-changing ministry. I'm here to tell you right now, the world is about to understand what the Spirit of Inspiring Love Church is about to do to enhance and to enhance the kingdom of God. This is one team that you want to be a part of. And I just thank God for you. And if you don't, go to a good Bible-believing, biblically sound church that's going to teach you the Word of God. Not an opinion, but give you the real truth of the Word of God. Not for showmanship, not for the oohs and the ahs, but give you something that you can take with you in your life to apply it into your life and to become what God needs for you to become. All right. Now, this is one of our favorite times right now. This is a part of service that everybody can participate in. It is giving time. It is giving time. We've got some options that you're able to participate in here. And we've got some options here. We've got Givelify. If you're looking online streaming right now, you can see the QR code for Givelify. You can use that, copy it, a scan right there, and it will allow you to go right directly to our Givelify page. And then also, if you're old school and you like the paper checks and money orders or whatever, you can see right now on the screen, you can give to us the P.O. Box 180972 in the great city of Arlington, Texas. You can send that to us there. And then always, there's Zelle. There's Zelle. I love Zelle as well. How about that? I'm a poet and didn't know it. I love Zelle as well. You can see Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. We pray over every single seed that comes into this message, and I reach out to everybody that gives to us. I get the chance to see who gives. I get a chance to know when you give, and I do it just to communicate with you, just to let you know, just to tell you thank you, because I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you, first of all, taking the time to just allow God to speak to you, and also your support, because everything that we do, it comes with a cost. Jesus says you got to count up the cost. Okay, it comes with a cost. Okay, this is not free, guys. I mean, we got to build something. It takes finance. It takes financial contributions to build something. But when you discipline and you understand that, and you know that the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, runneth over. You understand the importance of giving. It's not always about how much, but it's about how big is your heart. I want to thank you for it. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening to this message. I'm just going to close right quick here, and I'm going to give you back your Sunday. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you're doing. Father God, sometimes all we can do is just say thank you. You've said what you needed to say. You've done what you needed to do. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, saturate our hearts and our minds and help us to get ready to prepare for the process of discipline. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Amen. All right, listen, we'll be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there. Beat me there. Have a fantastic Sunday, folks, and we will see y'all next week. Love you.